We're ready now to conclude our study of the book of Daniel. This is our last session on the eve of your departure out of Israel back to America. And in this session, we only have one chapter left to be dealt with, and that is Daniel chapter 12. This chapter picks up where Daniel 11 left off, and that is speaking about the conclusion of this world as it gives away to the kingdom of God. And I'd like to review for a few minutes what we studied last time, this afternoon, and that is what we saw in Daniel chapter 10 and 11. As Daniel had this vision of Messiah, and then what he had was another vision of the events that would take place that would give way to the establishment of the kingdom of God and the return of the Messiah of Israel. Now, I'd like for us to pick up in verse 44, Daniel chapter 11, verse 44. It says here, "But news from the east and the north will alarm him. He will set out in great anger to destroy and annihilate many. He will pitch the tent of his palace between the seas and the holy coveted mountain. And there he will come to his end with none to help him." Now, this is the passage of Scripture that tells us that the false Messiah, the Antichrist, whatever you choose to call him, will not be successful. We saw in chapter 11 the events that will bring him to power. We saw his obsession, not with just ruling, but rather being worshipped. We saw how his focus was the holy city of Jerusalem, and how he wants to defend, we saw at the end of chapter 11, how he wants to defend his ring there, and he sets up his, if you look at it once more, it says, he will pinch his tents, and this is an army. He will set up his army between the seas and the holy covenant mountain. That is, he wants to defend Jerusalem and his rule there. But it tells us that he will come to his end and there will be none to help him. Now, let's move in now to chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. Remember we saw previously when we were looking at him, it tells us that he will be defeated not through the wrath of an enemy or an opponent and not by means of war. That is, he's going to be defeated in a way that's not natural, but supernatural. And now in Daniel chapter 12, we find out what that is. Look at verse 1, it says, "And at that time," what time? The time of his defeat. It says, "At that time, Michael," this is the archangel, "will stand, this great heavenly prince who stands in support of the members of your people." So what we see here is that there's going to be, and this will become more clear in the next verse, as he is trying, I'm speaking of the false Messiah, as he is strengthening himself and killing Jewish people who oppose him and want to rely upon the truth of God's word, it says here that the archangel Michael will stand and support the members of God's people. But in the midst of that, despite this, it says, look at it, middle of verse 1, it says, "And there will be a time of trouble such as there has never been since there was a nation until that time." And the nation is Israel. What we see here is that Israel, and I've already alluded to this in previous studies with you, Israel is going to go through their worst time. That time is known in the Bible, it's spoken of in the prophecy of Jeremiah as Jacob's trial, Jacob's affliction. It's going to be known as a great time of tribulation for the Jewish people. It says further on in that verse, it says, but at that time your people will escape. Even though many will die, many will go through hard times, the people, Israel, is going to come through that. Everything that is found written in this book, and I believe they're speaking of not only the book of Daniel, but the entire Word of God, is going to be fulfilled. Now, what is going to bring Israel back into its glory? What is going to be the key event that brings about the establishment of the kingdom of God? Notice what it speaks of in verse 2. It talks about the resurrection, the day of judgment. It says, many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake. These for everlasting life, and there's going to be others for everlasting shame and abhorrence. And this is speaking about eternal damnation in the fires of hell. So we see both. It's either to be very, very good or very, very bad. There's no position in the middle. It says the wise, and these are the ones who rely upon the wisdom of God. And what is the wisdom of God? It says in the scripture, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. They put God first. It says the wise will shine like the radiance of the firmament. Now, what is the radiance of the firmament? It says, the heavens declare the glory of God. And that's what we're talking about here. God is going to place upon us a radiance that reflects His glory. And that's what it means in the book of Genesis when it says that we were created in the image of God. It says two things. It means two things. Number one, that we were created to reflect the character of God. And in reflecting the character of God, we're going to manifest His glory. That's what it speaks of. And this is the fulfillment of what man's destiny is. Through redemption, we're going to reflect the image of God, His character and His glory. It says, look again at verse 3. The wise will shine like the radiance of the firmament, and those who teach righteousness to the multitudes will shine like the stars forever and ever. Now, that is the summary. The false Messiah and his rule is going to be defeated. It's going to be defeated despite a time of tribulation for the Jewish people. But despite this tribulation that will bring about many deaths and hardships, the Jewish people will be reassembled and there's going to be a judgment day. Those who are judged faithful, that is those who have received redemption by faith, they are going to be eternally radiant and reflect the glory of God. Those who have rejected the redemption of God through Messiah Yeshua, they are going to be eternally condemned and abhorred by God for all of eternity in the tortures of Gehinnom, the eternal of the lake that burns with fire. Now, this is the conclusion. Notice what it says, as for you, Daniel, verse 4, obscure these matters. And I think he did a good job of that in chapter 11. He says, as for you, Daniel, obscure these matters and seal the book until the time of the end. Let many muse, that is, let many study them, and knowledge is going to have to increase. Verse 5, then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, two others are standing, one on this side of the riverbank, and the other side, and one on the other side of the riverbank. And one said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, how long until the concealed end? How long until the end that's been concealed will be revealed? And I heard the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, as he lifted his right hand and his left hand to the heavens and swore by the life source of the world that after a time, times, and a half time, That is a period. A time is 1 year. A times is 2 years. So 1 and 2 is 3. And a half year, 3.5 years. Upon the completion of the fragmenting of the hand of the holy people, that is the strength, the power of the holy people, all these things would be completed. So what he's talking about here is the fact, and we have to go back to Daniel chapter 9 to understand, there's going to be a covenant made between the Jewish people and maybe other people in excess of the Jewish people, in addition to the Jewish people, with the false Messiah. He is going to rule for a period of time, and in the middle of the week, he is going to break that treaty. The events, the last half of chapter 11, and the events that we're looking at now in speaking about this great tribulation and trial that will come upon the Jewish people in Israel and throughout the world, Jacob's trial, that is an event for after the abomination of desolation is set up. He is going to set up that before the people in Jerusalem, and he's going to say, worship me, and there's going to be many who reject him. Because of that rejection, he is going to begin to persecute the Jewish people. He is going to wage war against them, and it tells us that Michael, the archangel, will come to our aid, and in the end he's going to, that is the false Messiah, is going to be defeated, and the Jewish people will be justified, and then Judgment Day is going to happen. Now, notice verse 8. I heard this, and this is Daniel speaking about these events, but he said, I did not comprehend it. So I said, my Lord, what is the end of these matters? And in verse 9 through 13, we're going to be given some additional information that helps us to understand these events more specifically. So let's look at those events before we conclude. He said, go, Daniel, for these matters are obscured and sealed until the time of the end. They will be elucidated. That means that people are going to speak about them. They are going to be clarified and refined by many people. Now, what this tells us is no one's going to have all the interpretations right in this book. No one's going to understand the end perfectly. We're all going to make contributions. We all together, studying together, are going to help each other, and we're going to move further along to a proper understanding, but until these events begin to happen, we're not going to have the total picture. Now, notice what it says. People are going to comment about them, but here's the key. It says, the wicked, despite this, the wicked are going to continue to act wickedly, and none of the wicked will understand. But the wise, we are going to gain an understanding. And we're going to place that wisdom into action. We're going to follow it up in deed and behavior. There's going to be a change in our life. And that change is going to best be seen when these events come into history. And when we're living through them, we're going to reflect the truth of God. We're not going to emphasize our human and earthly life, but we're going to put our emphasis in the kingdom of God. We're going to be willing to deny ourselves for the truth. That's what it's about. Now, notice what he says. In verse 11, he gives us some final information to help us understand. Here again, from the time that the daily offering was removed and the abomination of desolation is put in place. So here again, understand the chronological order. Daniel 9 tells us that there's going to be a covenant for 1 week. A biblical week, as you recall, is 7 years. But Daniel also tells us in the middle of that week, so in the midst of the 7.5 year period, there's going to be something that takes place. That something is the abomination of desolation. You recall that we looked at Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we saw that the false Messiah, he's going to, as Daniel told us in Daniel chapter 11, he is going to oppose everything that is God-like and godly, and God himself, he's going to oppose that. He's going to enter into the Holy of Holies, and he's going to say, "Worship me." At that time, the vast majority of Jewish people, even those who have supported his false peace, who have supported his empire, they are going to realize that he's not God, that he's not Messiah, and they are going to reject him, and we're going to see that a great time of persecution is going to happen. When that takes place, something's going to be interrupted. What is that? Well, look again. It says, from the time the daily offering was removed. Why was it removed? Because the abomination of desolation took place. There's going to be how long? Look carefully. It says 1,290. Now, what's interesting is if you look at it, it just says 1,290 days. Now, if you look at a lot of Jewish translation, they say years because their interpretation, they look at this in the past, and therefore it can't be 1,290 days. It has to be years. But the problem is Rashi, who lived literally 900 years ago, this would have been true to his time. He would have been coming up on that. But the problem is Rashi has long come and gone, and his view that this word day should really be translated years hasn't hold up. So what does that mean? This prophecy is not something, as Judaism says, which has already happened, but it's yet to take place. Therefore, we know that the covenant, this covenant that is going to be established at the beginning of Daniel's 70th week, it has not happened. One of the signs of it is that temple sacrifices are going to go back into place. So until we see the temple and sacrifices happening, we know that this covenant has not taken place. In the midst of that 7 years, and it doesn't mean necessarily exactly in the middle, although I think it's near to that, what's going to happen? The abomination of desolation, and we learn that's the last event that believers are going to see before the rapture. We talked about the fact that the doctrine of the imminency of the rapture is only based upon one scripture, and that is, no one knows the day or the hour. Let me tell you, even after the abomination of desolation happens, we know it's near, but we won't know the exact day or the hour, just that it's close. So there's no conflict with this interpretation and any other scripture in the Bible. So what's going to happen? The abomination is going to happen, and that's going to cause a ceasing of the daily offerings that was placed. And it's going to take place 1,200. The ceasing of the daily offering is going to, from the time that it stops until the time that he's speaking about, is going to be 1,290 days. Okay? Now, we learned something. We learned previously in verse 7 of this chapter, Daniel chapter 12, that it says that there's going to be a times and a half time. That's 3.5 years, or 42 months, or 1,260 days. And that period is mentioned a couple different places in the scripture, exactly 1,260 days. Here we have an additional 30-day period. Now, people say, well, that's a month. Well, maybe, but there's something more significant than that. It tells us that 30 days, a shloshim, is a period of time that one mourns for their only begotten or firstborn son. Now, why is that significant? Look with me for a moment to the book of Zechariah and chapter 12. Zechariah chapter 12, it tells us this. Same events. It talks about the tribulation that's going to come upon Israel. and it says that all the nations are going to lay siege against Jerusalem. They're all going to want it. But in that day, Hashem will pour out the Spirit upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and Judah. He's going to save them. And it says the weakest of the people are going to be strong like David. And notice what it says. Let me just read that. Verse 8, Zechariah chapter 12, verse 8. On that day, the Lord will protect the inhabitants of Jerusalem. On that day, even the weakest among the people will behave like David. And the house of David, which is a colloquium for those who believe in Messiah, will be like divine beings. They'll be splendor. Like an angel of Hashem, the angel of the Lord before them. It will be on that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come upon Jerusalem. I will pour out on the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. They will look upon me, upon the one whom they have pierced, and they will mourn over him as one mourns for an only child. And they will mourn over him with the mourning of a firstborn. Now, that mourning for a firstborn and the bitterness is a period of 30 days. So what do we see here? Well, the Bible talks about a times and a half time, 42 months, 1,260 days. It's at that time that Messiah is going to return. Now, this is not the rapture. Rapture has already happened. This is the second coming, and there's a difference between the rapture and the second coming. So this prophecy now tells us that Messiah is going to return and Israel is going to see him, those who are still alive, and they're going to recognize his true identity as Jesus from Nazareth, Yeshua HaNotzri, and they are going to mourn for his death because they've never mourned for his death before. And they're going to mourn for him for how long? 30 days. Now keep reading. It says, praiseworthy is he who awaits and reaches 1,335 days. Now, that's an additional 45 days. We have already spoken of an additional 30 days. If you take 30 and 45 and put them together, you get 75. Now, why is that important? Well, if you go back to Zechariah chapter 12, you're going to see that after the people mourn, there's going to be, and this is recorded in actually Zechariah chapter 13, there's going to be a fountain open up for the purification of the people. And there's a natural day, a national day, when people immerse themselves to be forgiven of sin. And that day is Yom Kippur. And many people believe that Zechariah chapter 13, when they say a fountain will be opened up, and some of you are looking there, so I'll turn there as well. Let's all look to Zechariah chapter 13. It says this, verse 1. Zechariah 13, verse 1. On that day there will be a spring open up for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem, for the cleansing and for purification. And many people believe that the proper day for that would be Yom Kippur. So the people are going to see Messiah, they're going to repent and mourn for 30 days, and then there's going to be a fountain open up for them, and they're going to immerse themselves and be reunited in a right relationship with God. Now, what we need to know is from the period of Yom Kippur to the festival of Hanukkah is always 75 days. I want to say that again. From the festival known as Yom HaKippurim, Yom Kippur, to the festival of Hanukkah, which is a festival which means, the word Hanukkah means dedication. And what happened is this. Hanukkah is all about rededicating, not rebuilding, but rededicating and purifying the temple that was contaminated by who? Antiochus Epiphanes, for what he did in the Holy of Holies. So what we see here, and it fits perfectly, what we see here is that the false Messiah is going to desecrate the Holy of Holies. He's going to go in and present himself to be God. He's going to transgress and bring contamination and spiritual pollution into God's temple. There's going to be a time of repurifying, not just the people, but also the temple of God. And that's going to begin, I believe, after Yom Kippur. It's going to take a period of time, and then exactly 75 days later, from Yom Kippur to Hanukkah, is that 75-day period, and it says, look at it, it says, blessed and praiseworthy is he who waits and reaches 1,335 days. That's Hanukkah. An additional 75 days from Yom Kippur. And what's going to happen is this. At that time on Hanukkah, we're going to see that Messiah enters into the temple. He's going to begin the rule of his kingdom. And it's interesting that if you look in the Bible, you don't find Hanukkah mentioned emphatically in the Old Covenant. You find it mentioned emphatically in the book of John and John chapter 10. In that 10th chapter, and I'm just doing this from memory, I believe John chapter 10, verse 22, it tells us something specifically. It tells us that Messiah was standing in Solomon's portico, and he is waiting when the leaders came, and they said, if you are Messiah, don't keep us in suspense. What they were saying, they understood this prophecy, and what they were saying was this, if you are really Messiah, go into the temple. It's Hanukkah time. We're ready for it. We want to know. Bring the redemption about. But we know this wasn't the time. Certain things had to happen. Certain things needed to take place. One of which is that Messiah laid down his life for the sins of the world and for the sinners of the world, that we might find redemption through his blood. You know, let me say this. Prophecy is great. Prophecy can be an encouragement. It can work wonders in our life because we know the truth and it motivates us to respond to the truth. But if we don't do that, we can know all the Bible, we can study prophecies, but if we don't have a personal relationship with God, one that's maturing and growing because of what Messiah did for us, laying down his life, pouring out his blood, and then endowing us with his Holy Spirit, if we don't have that experience, that everything that we have learned will be for naught. Anyway, let's go back to Daniel chapter 12. It says here, blessed and praiseworthy is he who awaits and reaches 1,335 days. As for you, go to your inn, he's speaking to Daniel, Daniel, go to your inn, you will rest and then arise for your portion at the end days. And let me say that that is an interesting statement. Many people wonder about the two witnesses. Well, we know that Elijah is prophesied to return. Many people feel it's Moses as well because his body was never done away with. We don't know what happened to his body. We know that Satan wanted to take it, and we see that Michael wrestled for it. Many interesting things about Moses. People say Hanoch in the book of Genesis as well as a possibility, but maybe it's Daniel. Look at that verse again. As for you, go to your inn. You will rest and then arise for your portion at the end days. May we be faithful, those of us who are privileged to live at that time. May we be privileged and faithful to God by doing what he would expect us to do and living in an appropriate manner. And may we begin that proper behavior even today, that through the study of the book of Daniel, that we might grow closer to the living God, that we might move closer in faithfulness in a walk that's worthy of our calling, that we might proclaim the living God and his saving Messiah every day until these events are fulfilled. Again, I thank you for your patience and your attentiveness during the time that we've studied together. All together, it's almost been 7 hours, and I appreciate the privilege to come and speak and address you all on a subject that's so interesting to study, the prophecy of Daniel. I bid you farewell and a great trip back to the United States, and I hope you come back to Israel on another trip very soon. Thank you.